Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this rainy Wednesday afternoon. Let's head up to Cincinnati. Let's learn a little bit more about the next opponent for the Titans, coming off their first loss of the season, and Cincinnati losing a tough one to the Browns. Former Titans linebacker Rocky Boyman is on the line with us with 700 WLW there in Cincinnati, the Eddie and Rocky show. It's been a while since we've talked to him. Rocky, how you doing?
Good, fellas. What's going on? Things are well here in Cincinnati. There's chaos. The Bengals have just traded Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks. That's a good thing because he was a malcontent. It's good to have him out of the locker room, but things are going well up here despite the losing ways of the Bengals.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. So how did it get to that point where today they dealt him to Seattle?
Well, it's because here's an example of a player who's choosing to handle his business and talk about the organization outside the locker room instead of handling things in-house. I understand he's probably upset that he's had a diminished role. I mean, that's kind of what happens when you're an aging player who's not productive and there's a new staff in town, right? I mean, that's kind of usually how it goes for me, for him, for everybody. But he chose to, instead of, you know, Geno Atkins is kind of the antithesis of that. He's also seen his play depreciate, and he's a guy that, if the Bengals had a ring of honor, Geno Atkins would be in that thing as a defensive tackle, but he's had seen his role diminish to a large degree. But he's, you know, he's unhappy about it, but he's choosing to kind of go about it the right way. Carlos Dunlap, after the game last week, he posted his house online. Before that, he had taken a picture of the defensive line depth chart and put that out there, and just a lot of just stuff where I just don't understand anymore. Maybe it's a newer player kind of thing where they choose to handle their business on social media versus handle it in-house. And I think the Bengals smartly made the right move here. Zach Taylor is a young coach, is trying to build a culture. And that culture cannot grow, guys, if you have a player who's, never really been a leader at all in that locker room through 11 seasons, but also now is dividing that locker room. He had to go, and the Bengals made the right move.
Rocky, one of the things that they got in return from the Seahawks was an offensive lineman, and they've been dropping like flies there. How badly did they need somebody to protect your future, you know, hopefully star quarterback in Joe Burrow?
Yeah, it had to happen. Now, I mean, even if all of our linemen, Jonah Williams, Bobby Hart, and everybody had been healthy, this team still needs offensive line bad. So if you guys got any extra ones down there and you want to let them come on up to Cincinnati, just go ahead because we'll take them. But yeah, I mean, that's been the position. I mean, guys, I mean, going back into even before last season, the offensive line has been the detriment of this team. This team has missed on a bunch of draft picks, including Cedric Oboehe, Jake Fisher, Billy Price a couple years ago at Ohio State. He's not worked out. But then on top of that, now you have some injuries. Jonah Williams, who was a first-round pick last year, is, I think, playing, you know, pretty well this year and is in really his first season of action. But now he's on the shelf. Bobby Hart is hurt. So, yeah, this team was already diminished at that position, but now badly so. So they had to trade, had to get somebody in there. And looks like, I don't know if B.J. Finney is the long-term answer. Let's hope he is. But the Bengals had to do it. And I think all things considered, I think it's a good deal for the Bengals.
Rocky Boyman on the line with us. We had T.J. Houshmandzadeh join us yesterday, and he really praised Joe Burrow early on in his career and what he saw through his eyes. What about through your eyes? What do you see in a young Joe Burrow right now?
Look, the number one question I said that needed to be answered, and I said this before the season, number one question or area of interest in this team is not the amount of wins. It's none of that. It's at the end of the season, can every Bengals fan, can the coaches, can the organization, can we all look at each other and say, Joe Burrow's the guy? You know, that's what he didn't want. He didn't want to come out of here saying, boy, I don't really know, and kind of like they're doing in Cleveland a couple 3 years in the Baker Mayfield, I don't really know if he's the guy or not. No, we wanted to definitively know, is Joe Burrow the guy, or did we miss on the pick? Well, through, what, five, six games, whatever it is, I think everybody can definitively say he's the dude, right? He's the guy. He does a lot of good things. He's tough. You know, he's an Ohio kid. But just, you know, with no off season, no OTA days or anything like that, to be performing at the level he's performing, you know, having over 400 yards last week, 300 yards a game the previous 3 weeks, he's really, really doing well. And he just really, you know, as much as there's negative things with this Bengals team, you look at some of the positives. Number one, be all end all, is the quarterback. We feel pretty good about that here in Cincinnati for the next decade. And then some other young pieces. T. Higgins is really coming on as a young wide receiver. Tyler Boyd's a younger wide receiver who's playing really well. And there's some things here and there that kind of get overshadowed by the many deficiencies this team has. But certainly this team right now feels really, really good. The fan base feels really, really good about Joe Burrow.
You just brought up two really good receivers. Tyler Boyd went up for over 100 last week. T. Higgins just continues to impress, a Tennessee kid growing up in this state. So what is, sitting here today, the role? I did not believe A.J. Green would be back on this roster, Rocky, this season. Why have they decided to stay with A.J. Green? And, you know, because he's been hurt the last couple of years. His production, he's not the same player anymore. So where is he today in what they expect week in and week out of A.J. Green?
Yeah, the situation with A.J. Green's been very interesting because, as you just mentioned, he basically didn't play for like a year and a half. You know, he was missed half of, 2018 and all of last year. He missed all the preseason this year, the little that there was. And, you know, and he was hurt. And through the first four games of the season, it's like, where is this guy? Like, he wasn't even hardly on the field. And when he wasn't the same player. So a lot of folks, including me, are like, God, you know, it looks just like, you know, at age 32 and without playing in a while, his skills have diminished. Now, last week, he really, really bounced back. And I give him a lot of credit because he was facing some flack and a lot of the same questions you just asked. Why do you bring a guy back and pay him $18 million a year when he hasn't done anything in a year and a half? I think the Bengals wanted a veteran wide receiver to be there to help out Joe Burrow. And I get that. I get that. And up until last week, he wasn't producing. But he did last week. He looks a little bit more like the A.J. Green of old. He had an impact on the game. So hopefully, and I know Bengals fans are hoping, that that's something that continues to happen here throughout this season as it goes on.
Talking to the former Titan linebacker, Rocky Boyman, now sports talk show host up in Cincinnati, WLW. He's also the author of a book we're going to tell you about here. But, Rocky, I want to ask you about Joe Mixon. I know he missed the game last week. They've got Gio Bernard, who's always been a reliable pass catcher. But it would seem if you don't have Mixon, again, it changes up what you can do in the run game. What's your outlook on Mixon this week?
Yeah, it's still a little bit up in the air, guys, unfortunately. And Joe Mixon, he's a stud. He really is, and he's produced – despite, as we talked about earlier, this offensive line really being, you know, not up to where it needs to be. And he's a guy, if you just, you know, just get him a little bit, just get him past that first line, get him a window, some daylight into the second level, he can make a defense pay. So, yes, if he's not there, that's just, this is already a team that's overall, I mean, especially, look, if you compare man for man, up and down the roster between the Titans and the Bengals, this is a less talented team, of course. And now now on top of that, you're possibly dealing without being one of your best players out there in Joe Mixon. So that'll certainly hurt.
You touched on just the negativity and it, trying to turn something around, and how well Joe Burrow has handled it. Joe Burrow, I saw too, was very outspoken in defense of Zach Taylor, the coach. He thinks they're on the same page. He thinks they're moving in the right direction. What have you learned about Zach Taylor since he took over?
That's still up in the air. And as I said, the number one question heading into the season was, is Joe Burrow the guy? The number two question is Zach Taylor the guy? And the unfortunate thing is, you know, I think the team plays hard. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I've been in locker rooms, you know, that's the number one indicator of guys playing hard for the coach. And I think they are, but no one really knows what he does well. I mean, I've watched this team every game Zach Taylor has coached, and I can't sit here and tell you boy, he really does this well, or he really does that well. There's nothing you can really point to, and you want to believe, and Cincinnati fans want to believe that, okay, this is going to be kind of for the long haul here, and it's going to take some time, and it's going to be some process to it. But the problem is, the issue, guys, is Zach Taylor doesn't have any resume behind him to give anyone confidence that what he's doing is the right way to do it. You know, had he been a coach that's had some success here and had some success there, you give him the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, look, if it takes 3 years, fine, he's done it before. Zach Taylor hasn't done that. He's never been a head coach at any level. He's never been an offensive coordinator besides being an interim guy in the league when he was the head, when he was an offensive coordinator here at the University of Cincinnati back in, God, whatever that was, 2014. He was averaging 19.3 points per game. So it wasn't like there's anything you look on his resume other than being underneath Sean McVay that you go, boy, man, look at this. This guy's, you know, the real deal. Again, there's things I like about him, but it's that question, guys. It's what does he do really well as a coach? That question, unfortunately, still needs to be answered.
We're talking to Rocky Boyman, former Titans linebacker, also with WLW in Cincinnati, hosts a show there. So one of the things that we've discussed with the Titans has been their defense. We know the offense. The offense can put up points. This is one of the best offenses I think I've ever seen this team have. But defensively, they certainly have some deficiencies, and the big one being pass rush. As somebody that played that side of the football, when somebody says, I need the pass rush to get better, how would you answer that question? From a defensive mind, what do you think needs to improve from that standpoint?
Yeah, and that's the hard thing is it's, you know, the way the pass rush gets better is having better players, right? Having guys they were put upon this earth to rush the passer. That's what they do better than anybody else. And I know the Titans in the past have had a lot of guys that do that. You know, I mean, you know, when we had Javon Kearse, that made a defensive coordinator, it made Jim Schwartz look really, really smart, right? Because he's put him out there and said, go get the quarterback, and he has the God-given ability to do it. You know, I got to watch that for a couple years. So when it's not happening, then, of course, the next option you have is to blitz. And I don't think that's something that Titans traditionally have wanted to lean really, really heavily on, certainly not as much as you know, the defensive coordinator with the Ravens does. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, you got to affect the quarterback. And anybody who knows anything about football knows that. And especially Joe Burrow, he's been hit a lot. He's been sacked a lot. And when he has had the time to throw, he's shown that he can process information very, very quickly. So as a defense, you got to find a way to do that. Get the quarterback off his spot and don't allow him to sit there and crunch everything and find out where to go with the football. So, if the Titans are deficient in that area, that's something maybe they got to start dialing up some blitz more.
You talked about him or Joe Burrow earlier and the things that he's done well, but you just mentioned it there that he has gotten hit a lot. The offensive line, you know, what are some things that you think they have to do to try and improve that? Is it going to be personnel? Is that just an ongoing process, or how are they going to be able to keep Joe Burrow upright?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're all hoping he just stays alive and healthy by the end of the year. That's the other thing. At the end of this season, good or bad, he's healthy and upright. That's a win. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been some issues to it, and he's been hit a lot. One of the things that's interesting, though, is Joe Burrow loves throwing out a five wides package. He loves that, which that obviously means, you know, you only got five guys protecting you. So that, you know, but to balance that out, he's, you know, getting the ball out faster a little bit. But the problem is, and this is what you love about him, is also the thing that could be his downfall, is he wants to make a play every play. And that's kind of something all young quarterbacks want to do. He wants to prove himself, and he doesn't think there's a play out there that he can't make. That's a good thing. But sometimes that actually is the case. You know, live the fight another day. Hey, don't take that huge hit. Throw the ball in the stands, punt it, and whatever. And I know you'll be disappointed, but that's what you got to do. So it comes down to Burrow. If the offensive line isn't there, it's got to be getting the ball out of his hands. It's rolling him out. It's hoping, you know, that the win against the Jags was helped and Joe Burrow was helped by the fact that they were able to run the ball. And when you can run the ball and take some pressure off the quarterback where he doesn't feel like he has to throw, you know, 60 times a game, as he has a couple times, that's going to be the key. I don't know for sure if they'll be able to do that here this week.
Rocky, you had a successful career as a linebacker, now a radio host, and also now an author. Rocky's Rules, A Playbook for Becoming Your Best in Challenging Times, is your new book, came out in August. How did this all come about?
Yeah, it's cool. So I basically, it's my rules for life, okay? It's, you know, prepare and one day your chance will come. It's be flexible, not rigid. It's pay attention to the little details. Every chapter is just kind of one of my rules for life. And how I, you know, I'm a very principled guy, right? How I've always have been. And I started thinking about some of the core principles that I have and I've lived by and that helped me and I think helped me contribute to society and all that. So I took and I started thinking about how I learned those things. And a lot of times it was through things that happened to me in the NFL, you know what I mean? Like largely bad things, you know, getting cut or that sort of thing. So I take some of my roles and how I learned them through, I tell some, you know, some good stories. A lot of them, actually three or four chapters, have stories about when my days with the Titans. And, you know, my second year when I, you know, was able to go in and against the Steelers. Peter Sermon goes down, I go in the game as a backup, and boom, 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 interception return for a touchdown. You know, AFC Defensive Player of the Week and all that. And I tell the story about kind of the lead up to that. And the lesson is prepare and one day your chance will come. Because that was the deal. Is I prepared as if I was the starter through the encouragement of Gunther Cunningham and these coaches and stuff. And it worked out. You know, so the lesson for all of us is, I'm sure there's people out there that are frustrated in their job. And they think they're better than the guy in front of them. And they can get frustrated. Well, don't get frustrated. Keep preparing because your chance will come. That's not the question. The only question is, what are you going to do with it? So it's things like that, guys. It's really just good, poignant stories about some of my, you know, NFL days. It's not an autobiography. It's not about my life. I don't think my life or career have been particularly that special or anything. But I think I have had some moments that I think a lot of people can relate to. And look, we're all living in challenging times right now with COVID screwing everything up. And, you know, it's just nuts out there, and I think right now everybody could, you know, use maybe some good lessons to follow. And it's just my opinion on that, and I encourage folks to check it out. It's on Amazon right now. Rocky's Rules.
Very, very cool. Well, I look forward to reading it. And Rocky, appreciate the time. Always good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Guys, you keep holding down my second favorite city, Nashville. I love that place down there. All right, hope to see you guys soon.
Oh, we will for sure. Appreciate it. Rocky Boyman, WLW in Cincinnati, and of course spent a good amount of time here in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans. We'll have more coming here in the fourth hour of Darren Donican Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.